What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Cryptocurrency markets are reeling this week. So what do stablecoins have to do with it?
These projects are backed by coins that are backed by coins that are backed by coins. And so in some ways, like, the ripple effects are bigger than they've been in the past.
We'll explain more. And Fed Chair Jerome Powell has been confirmed to a second term. Plus, the first pictures of a black hole at the heart of our galaxy are out. So why do we see orange? It's Thursday, May 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. It was another volatile session on Wall Street today as investors took stock of more inflation data. The producer price index, which reflects supply conditions in the economy, increased 11% on a 12-month basis in April. It's the fifth straight month of double-digit gains, but down slightly from the month before. The data came a day after the Labor Department reported a similar small dip in consumer inflation, which still remains near a four-decade high. The major indexes ultimately ended the day mixed. The Dow fell 100 points, or 0.3%, its sixth consecutive decline. The S&P 500 fell 0.1%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.1%. Cryptocurrencies have also been sliding. In just a few minutes, we'll have more on what's roiling those markets. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has been confirmed to a second term in an 80-19 bipartisan Senate vote. Powell spent a good part of his first term steering monetary policy to shore up the economy during the height of the pandemic. Now, he faces the challenge of taming the highest inflation rate the nation has seen in 40 years, without pushing the economy into a recession. The House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot has subpoenaed House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy and four other Republican members of Congress. It's the first time the panel has tried to compel testimony from fellow lawmakers who were allies of former President Donald Trump. McCarthy had rejected a request from the committee to voluntarily provide information about his conversations with Trump before, during, and after the riot. McCarthy declined to say if he would comply with the subpoena and told reporters he didn't believe the investigation was legitimate. The panel is preparing for public hearings on the matter next month. The Biden administration has canceled plans to auction drilling rights in three areas off the U.S. coast. It's adding more tensions to an uneasy relationship between the White House and the oil industry during a time of soaring fuel prices. One region is 1 million acres of seabed near Alaska. The Department of Interior said the plan to sell drilling rights there was scrapped due to a lack of industry interest. The department said legal challenges were behind canceling two other lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico. The head of the Global Energy Institute at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said in a statement that canceling the lease sales at a time when the world is trying to end its dependence on Russian energy is harmful to U.S. energy security and the economy. The CEO of Twitter says the company has put hiring on pause and is looking for ways to cut costs. Parag Agrawal made the call as he announced the departure of two senior executives, according to an internal memo that The Wall Street Journal has reviewed. The turmoil at Twitter comes as tech mogul Elon Musk is in negotiations to buy the social media giant for $44 billion, though the deal is not finalized. Yesterday, we reported that federal regulators are investigating Musk for delaying reporting his sizable share purchases of Twitter. Electric vehicle startup Rivian is recalling more than 500 battery-powered pickup trucks over potentially faulty airbags that could pose a safety risk to children in the front passenger seat. The recall covers 2022 Rivian R1T pickups built between late September of last year and early April of this year at the company's factory in Illinois. And in Ukraine, the UN says about 14 million people have now been forced from their homes, including more than 6 million who have fled the country since Russia's invasion began. Europe hasn't seen an exodus of this magnitude since World War II. Most refugees are women, children, and elderly people because Ukrainian wartime law prevents most men of fighting age from leaving. Coming up, cryptocurrency markets were especially volatile this week after the collapse of a major stablecoin. How that happened, and what it means for markets after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Cryptocurrency is notoriously volatile, but there's a corner of the digital currency market, stablecoins, that have traditionally been a fortress of stability, until this week, that is. Several stablecoins that were designed to hold their value against the dollar took a dive, and it's sending shudders through the market. Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Hi, Caitlin. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Anne-Marie.
So, Caitlin, what we're seeing this week has a lot to do with something called stablecoin, and one stablecoin in particular, Terra USD. Can you explain what exactly stablecoin is and how it's supposed to work?
So if Bitcoin and Dogecoin are the really risky speculative assets, stablecoins are supposed to be their less volatile cousins. And when I say less volatile, they're not supposed to move at all. So these are basically cryptocurrencies that are pegged to often $1. Sometimes it's 1 euro, but usually it's $1. And the idea is that through various design mechanisms, these are supposed to be the cryptocurrencies that are always a flat line. There's no moving chart. And so they are increasingly important in crypto because let's say you want to buy Bitcoin or you want to buy Dogecoin. You don't really want to buy that using another volatile cryptocurrency because then you have movement in two directions. It makes it really hard to try and get a sense of, you know, where you even think the price is going. And also because if you think about how long it takes to do bank transfers, if you want to buy Bitcoin when it drops to a certain level, you don't want to wait for, you know, Wells Fargo to transfer your dollars to your cryptocurrency account because that's going to take, you know, 2 or 3 days maybe to actually settle and show up. And so these have gotten a lot of interest because you basically have these pseudo dollars that you can use to trade basically instantly.
So what happened with Terra USD this week?
So you had honestly what's basically a bank run happen. You had Terra USD, which was one stablecoin. It was formerly the third largest. And all of a sudden you had a series of withdrawals from one of the kind of big pots of Terra USD that existed in the cryptocurrency ecosystem. And you had millions and millions of dollars being pulled out all at once. And that spooked people. You know, if you see all of a sudden everyone's going to your bank and pulling out money, you're going to sit there and go, oh, well, hold up, like I need to get my stuff out. And there's no FDIC backing like crypto in the way that there is your bank. And so what that caused was a bunch of people, you know, wanting to pull their money out immediately. And that broke the peg. The peg fell from $1 and it was, you know, hanging in the upper 90 cents. And that pressure kept building. And for too long, before Wednesday, you know, it was trading 30 cents, 23 cents at its lowest. And so what you've just had is that break in confidence.
So how significant has Terra USD's collapse been for broader crypto markets? Put this in context for us. What has it meant for crypto investors?
Yeah, so ironically, the way that Terra is designed, you've had other stable coins that have broken from their pegs and died in the past, and they really haven't caused a lot of broader market turbulence aside from the one project. In this case, part of the issue is that you had Bitcoin reserves that had been created within the last couple of months that were now backing, you know, Terra USD. And when the peg broke, the people behind the project said, you know, we're going to sell our Bitcoin. They had about $3 billion worth of Bitcoin heading into this week. We're going to sell it and, you know, try and save the price, save the peg. When you sell $3 billion of Bitcoin at once, like that's going to create a ripple effect, especially because even though crypto is a larger market than it has been historically, you know, it's not a market where you can move that kind of money and not see a move. And so you had Bitcoin start to sell off. You also had some people selling Ether, the second largest crypto, to try and restore the peg, though not the project. And so you had all of this selling that kind of happened to defend it, and that created a ripple effect in a cascade, not just in Bitcoin and Ether, but also in other cryptocurrency markets. And so you had kind of this cascading selling happening.
Some crypto advocates might say we've seen crashes before. This is a volatile investment. Is it different this time around?
It's different because it was such a large stablecoin. Like, that is different from other sell-offs that we've seen. And it's different in that it's really the first time you're seeing this intermingling of different cryptocurrencies. You've seen sell-offs in the past where, you know, it will just be that all of a sudden people just get a little bit skittish and you have kind of the selling that begets selling. But this is, you know, specific in some ways, not completely, but in some ways specific to this one stablecoin that when it broke, you know, you had all of these assets that were very directly tied to it and that created this ripple effect. And so it kind of begets the idea that, you know, if you have one coin, one token in this ecosystem that all of a sudden does blow up, it's all more interconnected now maybe than it has been in the past. It's not just, you know, people get scared of Bitcoin going down and so they like choose to sell others or maybe they're forced to sell others. It's that, you know, these projects are backed by coins that are backed by coins that are backed by coins. And so in some ways, like the ripple effects are bigger than they've been in the past.
And to broaden that picture out even more, crypto markets are becoming more mainstream. How is what's happened this week likely to impact broader acceptance of cryptocurrencies?
Everyone in crypto is very nervous about that right now. If you're in crypto and you've been trying to build legitimacy for this market for the last, you know, 10 years in some cases, this is really not what you want. I mean, you have regulators who are pointing specifically to Terra USD, which I don't know that like anyone had been ever paying attention to it before specifically, now talking about the need for regulation again. And if you're trying to build acceptance, like this is something that really spooks not just the industry, but regulators, people who maybe had been considering getting into crypto. And so this basically just like reinforces the idea that crypto is the Wild West and anyone can create anything and it can have these seismic effects.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, today we got the first image of a black hole at the center of our galaxy. It's called Sagittarius A star. You may have seen it too. The picture looks like a bright ring of orangey-red clouds. It's the first time we've had visual evidence of the giant black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Up until a few years ago, scientists could only collect indirect evidence by measuring the impact of its gravity on nearby objects or detecting the gravitational waves emanated by it. But if it's a black hole, why are we seeing orange? Our science reporter, Eileen Woodward, explains.
Black holes, by their very nature, are invisible or unseeable, right? Because a black hole is a region of space so dense that not even light can break free of its gravitational pull. So when we see this image, we're actually seeing the shadow of a black hole. Basically, black holes are encircled by this disk of extremely hot, extremely fast moving gas or plasma moving at like the speed of light. And that shadow against the bright backdrop of that hot gas, that's what's visible to certain telescopes on Earth.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.